Good evening.
Good evening, spooky fans. Or earthbending students.
Oh, yeah.
That's good morning.
Good morning, Vietnam.
Here we are.
Yep. We came back.
We came back. We have crossed the mid-season line.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting. We hope you're enjoying it. Or I do, Ailey might not.
What?
You might not.
Of course I hope people enjoy it.
Oh, well, that's good. We were worried.
Who? Who's we?
Me and the listeners.
Who are you talking to? It's just the two of us in here, Kieran.
The dog.
Nobody's listening.
Not yet, they're not. But they will be. They will be.
So how's your week been?
My week's been good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good, very good. Mm-hmm. Just writing lots of coffee stuff on the coffee site.
Mm-hmm.
Above average coffee, for anyone who's interested. Cheeky wee plug.
Absolutely. We went to a wedding.
We did. We went to a birthday party, then a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Then
a Japanese garden.
Oh, yeah. Down in Dollar, near Edinburgh.
It was lovely.
Phenomenal. Yeah, it was really good.
Definitely go. Would recommend.
It was awesome. Very cool to see. Otherworldly. Other countryly.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, we didn't see any ghosts while we were away.
No, we didn't.
Our Airbnb wasn't haunted, thankfully.
But thankfully. It was beautiful.
It was really nice.
We had such a nice time.
Yeah, we did.
Fossaway Stables.
Yes, on Airbnb.
Yes.
Near Kinross.
Would recommend, but I'm not going to repeat the name because I don't really want anyone else to stay.
Yeah.
I want it to always be free so that we can go.
Ours.
And the dog came with us. He had a really nice holiday.
He did. What do you have lined up for us, even? There's really spooky lighting, I've just noticed. Because the lamp is, like, underlitting your face. So you look very spooky over there.
Tis the season, Kieran.
Tis the season. Spooky season.
We're in the thick of it now. It's mid-October.
Yep.
It is cold.
Yes, it is. It is so cold and so dark, but we love it.
It's so cold that we bought a new duvet.
We did. Oh, before we get to anything else...
You've got a very excited look in your eyes.
After last week's episode, after it finished, we watched the episode about Culleen Castle. Sorry, we watched the episode of Most Haunted about Culleen Castle.
We did. I didn't even make you watch it. It was your idea.
Yep. We did it afterwards, and it was terrible.
Kieran did not have a good time.
Oh, I mean, so I never do watch that, but
you kind of did.
Well,
you kind of did. You kind of loved that you hated it.
Yeah, I have a good time watching it and just being like, "What is this? What is happening?" And they're just like, "Oh yeah, like a ghost just scratched me. Let's see what else we can find." But what? No,
that was in a different episode. That was in their Waverly Hills episode. Yeah,
we watched a few.
Again, I didn't even make Kieran do that. He just picked more episodes to watch.
I did. Send help.
So yeah, we watched the Most Haunted episode that we talked about last week.
We did.
Apologies if my voice sounds really strange. I can't get rid of it. It's just stuck like this now.
We're going to get 4 minutes in and you lose your voice.
No, it doesn't feel like I'm going to lose it. It's like a little air bubble that I can't get rid of.
Weird.
It'll be fine.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
But yeah, we watched it.
We did. It was terrible. I can recommend. Our episode's way better.
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
I mean, I enjoyed making ours more than I enjoyed watching Most Haunted.
Very much so. Very much the case. We've poured a little dram to warm us up on this spooky evening.
We have. Do you want to tell the people what you're drinking this evening?
I've forgotten. I have a Dalwhinnie 15-year-old.
Very nice.
It's very nice. The Gentle Spirit, it's called. What about you?
I am drinking Raspberry Edinburgh Gin Liqueur on the rocks. In one of my granda's whiskey glasses.
Yes, you are. You don't even have a coaster.
I have two coasters.
None of them under the icy drink.
Well,
like living with an animal.
You happy? It's my desk. I can... Don't tell me how to live my life. I can do what I want.
Likely story. Well, cheers.
Cheers, my dear. Oh, that's really nice.
That was really nice as well.
It tastes like proper Scottish raspberries. There's no taste quite like it. It's so good. Because I don't really like artificial fruit flavour.
No, if it was fake raspberry.
Mm-hmm. You can tell. Nice. You can just tell. But that It tastes like proper raspberries. It's so nice.
Yeah.
Would highly recommend. They also have a rhubarb and ginger one.
That is also nice.
Amazing for the wintertime.
Yeah.
Would also recommend.
Would recommend. So, we have babbled enough.
That is a very respectable 6 minutes of babbling, sir. I could babble all day. I do babble all day.
Yes, I'm a professional babbler.
Not yet. So, I hope to be.
Sitting in here working and you come in babbling in the morning. That doesn't end until we go to bed.
I have a husband for sale, if anybody would like a husband.
Probably not.
Just I'll put it out there. You can get in touch with me at 100 Spooky Street, Scotland.
Podcast co-host wanted.
Written requests only.
So what do we have this week?
Well,
you're excited.
I am excited. I'm still excited because we are heading north for today's episode.
Ooh. Spook me up.
Spook me up, bitch.
No, spook me up, Scotty.
In honour of William Shatner.
Yep.
Who just went into space. We're heading north today's episode.
How exciting.
Way north.
Way north. Relative to us or relative to the podcast?
Both.
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 Oh, we're all the way north.
Both, baby. Today, we are going to be talking about Scale House up in Orkney.
Ooh. We haven't been to Orkney since the Kelpies.
Selkies.
Selkies,
darling.
Every time. Every damn time. Even when I was doing the title to that episode, I was like, how do you spell Kelpies? And you're like, you don't need to spell Kelpies. And I'm like, no. Scale House.
Have you heard of Scale House before?
I have not.
Have you heard any of the rumours surrounding it?
Nope, never. Where's Orkney? I've not even heard of it. No, I haven't heard of
Orkney. You've been to Orkney.
I have. Not Scale House though, or maybe I did, but...
Well, I'm glad that you haven't heard too much, because it means I get to tell you.
That's true.
Now, I first found out about Scale House a few years ago. I actually used it as part of a listening exercise with a class when I was still teaching.
Hmm.
And since then, it's just stuck in my head. I've never forgotten it, and I really, really want to go. Really, really want to go.
Awesome.
Even knowing the story, I really, really want to go. Scale House is on mainland.
Mm-hmm.
This was initially confusing to me, but mainland is the biggest Orkney island.
Yeah.
Not mainland Scotland.
No.
Mainland Orkney.
Yes.
Which I didn't know, so it took me a couple minutes. We're there, we're fine. And Scale House is pretty much on the east coast. Oh, no. It's pretty much on the west coast of the island. Near a place called Sandwick. Stromness is to the south of it. And that's where you get the ferry to Thurso.
Yes.
I think. So that's kind of where you are. And it's another haunted house.
Mm.
A haunted mansion.
A haunted mansion?
Mm-hmm. I picked a trio of haunted houses for Halloween for the podcast. So last week it was Killeen.
Mm-hmm.
This week it's Scale House.
Excellent.
And I'm not spoiling next week. Don't ask me. Don't ask me.
I'm not gonna.
Don't do it.
I'm not trying.
Don't ask me. I won't spoil it.
What's next week's episode?
Well, it's...
I almost got you. Ah! The banter. I don't think there were any mansions on Orkney.
Well, this is the only example of a 17th century mansion on Orkney. It's the only one.
Very cool. I didn't think there were any.
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
It's pretty big. But to me, the most amazing thing about Scale House, which we're going to get into a bit more later, is that the area that it's built on and the area around where the house is now has been lived on by humans for about 5,000 years.
Whoa, that's really cool.
5,000 years.
5,000 years. Back to 3,000 BC.
Yes.
Damn.
Isn't that incredible?
That is incredible. That's wild.
If you know anything about Orkney and how amazing Orkney is, this probably doesn't surprise you, but... all over Orkney, there's evidence of ancient civilizations and ancient villagers. And we'll get more into that. For now, we're going to concentrate on the house itself. But I just had to, have that in at the beginning because it's just amazing.
That's really cool.
Now, the house itself, like I said, is a 17th century mansion. And it itself has been around for about 400 years.
Wow.
So it's not as old as 5,000 years.
Yeah, on the scale, it's not as big.
But nothing to be sniffed at.
It's older than our house. That was built in the 60s.
Well, I'd say it's considerably older than our house. And the name Scale comes from the Norse roots that the area has. Because scale is the word, or the Old Norse word for hall, or at least related to the Old Norse word for hall.
Oh.
And you'll find that a lot across Orkney and Shetland. There's a huge Norse and Viking influence there. More, I would say more than the rest of Scotland.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Because like up in Shetland, a lot of people identify more with Viking culture and Scandinavian culture than Scottish culture.
Yeah, because they've got Uphelia every year in Shetland.
Or not even called like history, like, that's their heritage.
The Viking festival every year.
Yeah.
How do you spell scale? With a K?
S-K-A-I-L-L.
Oh. See, I had dragon scale when you first said it.
No, no, no. S-K-A-I-L-L.
So I had a very, like, scaly house in my head.
No.
I'm like, oh, that's weird.
No. But the house is built pretty close to the coast. So, you know, fish scales might actually help. Now, scarily, the house is getting closer and closer to the coast over time. It's a lot closer to the shore than it was when it was built.
Oh, no.
Because everything's just kind of eroding.
Yeah.
So that's kind of spooky just on its own, that the coast is just encroaching on the house.
Yeah. That means in another 5,000 years, Orkney might be a nubbin.
A nubbin.
Just a little nubbin of land left over. The rest just falling into the sea.
Scotland's nubbin.
Yeah. I have a house on the nubbin, actually. Ain't nothing but a thing.
Another spooky thing that isn't strictly spooky, but it just kind of adds to the atmosphere of the place, is that there are no trees around Scale.
Are there no trees in Orkney?
Very few, from what I understand, but there are none around Scale at all. So if you imagine a typical haunted mansion, you might have a big sprawling grounds in your head with like lots of woodland around it, kind of like the castles and houses we've been talking about, but that's not the case here. It's I don't want to say it's barren, because that's not fair. It's very beautiful,
yeah,
but there are no trees.
Weird.
Because if you don't know, it's very difficult, sometimes impossible, for trees to grow on certain Scottish islands.
Yep.
We know it from the Hebrides and Lewis, which is to the west.
I was speaking to a guy I met in the dog walk a little while ago, he'd spent the last 20 years trying to grow trees on the Outer Hebrides.
Oh, yeah.
And they all grow at 45 degrees, because they just get pelted by the wind off the Atlantic.
On the Outer Hebrides, it'd be the Atlantic, yeah.
Yeah, they just get pelted with the wind, so they just, if they grow at all, they grow at 45 degrees, like all leaning over, which I think is funny.
It gets very, very windy. It's very exposed.
So no surprise to me that there's no trees around this place.
But I thought it was interesting.
It does. I definitely, like, you can imagine coming up to it at night.
Oh, yeah. There's just, there's nothing. It's very carriage. Exposed. I would feel very exposed.
Yeah. Well, especially if you know that the ground's being eaten away towards you.
Yeah. So, not strictly spooky, but kind of spooky.
Kind of spooky. It's October. It's all spooky.
It's all spooky. We are generally spooky.
Well, I'd say it's generally spooky.
Well, now that I've hooked you in.
I am hooked.
We're going to follow my usual structure, since I like it.
Can you take the hook out my tongue?
No. So stop you joking while I'm trying to speak.
Fit.
We're going to talk about the house's spooky history, and then we're going to talk about the spooks themselves.
That sounds good.
Because it's fun and I like it. Is that right?
That sounds fine by me.
Okay.
Do I have a choice?
No.
So there we go.
We're starting with a man called Robert Stewart.
Another Stewart.
Another Stewart.
Oh, they're everywhere.
You can see episode 4, the Appin murder, for all of your Stewart needs. This Robert Stewart was the Earl of Orkney in the 16th century. The first Earl of Orkney.
Wow.
Now, I actually think that we mentioned him fleetingly in our Mary, Queen of Scots episode.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was her half-brother.
Oh, Very cool.
Mm-hmm. He was a bastard.
And
but in the official game.
Okay. Otherwise he would have been wicked, because we've had a few wicked, the wicked.
No, he was a bastard.
And he was sent north. Interesting.
I didn't even think of that.
Interesting.
Oh my god.
Interesting.
Ooh. Well, he was a son of King James V, which is how he was related to Mary, because King James V was her dad too, but she was a legitimate child. Robert wasn't. He was kind of in a strange position because he was recognised by James
mm-hmm.
as his son, but he was recognised as an illegitimate son.
Weird.
So he acknowledged that he had had this affair and he was illegitimate.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the issue. He wasn't...
He wasn't an actual son.
Well, he wasn't an actual heir.
I was about to say, can you be an heir and be a bastard?
No, not really. Like, Mary became queen. Robert didn't become queen.
Well, I wondered if she had fallen out, well, she did not stop being queen, but would he have been in line for the throne?
Well, he could have a claim if it went... Well, because look at everything that Mary went through.
Yeah.
He could have a claim, but...
Probably didn't want it. No thanks.
But traditionally and legally, no. Okay. He's not the legitimate son of King James V, so
mm-hmm.
he couldn't inherit. But he was made the first Earl of Orkney in 1581 by his nephew, King James VI.
Oh!
So, Mary's son. There
you go. Yep.
And it was all a little bit shady, actually. If you cast your mind back to our Mary, Queen of Scots episode, remember her last husband?
Yes.
And how dubious and awful it all was?
Yes.
Lord Bothwell.
Yep.
Well, she had made him the Duke of Orkney.
Oh.
But when she had to give up the throne and abdicate, he was charged with treason, and his title went with that. He wasn't the Duke of Orkney anymore.
Yep.
So King James VI decided to make Robert Stuart an Earl, replacing the dukedom altogether.
Well, very cool.
Yeah.
And he moved to Orkney.
Robert did?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think quite often, like Bothwell, I don't think he lived on Orkney. He might have done.
Well, he kind of... I don't know too much about Robert. He kind of was all over the place because he was an important person.
Mm-hmm.
And he travelled to France on Mary's behalf and things, so...
Probably had property across the land.
And I think he had positions in King James VI's court.
Mm.
But I can't remember. But at this time, the site of the current scale house was part of the Earl's estate. He owned it. And I read that it might have been a farm back then. So it didn't look the way it does now. But he owned that bit of land.
Do you think he'd be pissed knowing it's getting eroded away and his lands get a little bit smaller?
Maybe. Maybe. There's probably more that he would be pissed about that we're going to get into. I think coastal erosion would probably be pretty low on his gripe list. But he did all kinds of things. I wouldn't mind trying to look into him a bit more deeply. But to do that, I think I would need like library access and journal access, because I couldn't find what I needed online.
Mm-hmm.
But I read that he was working with pirates from Shetland.
Very cool.
That's like something out of a movie. That I would watch that movie.
Yeah.
And he managed to get the king of Denmark and Norway, they were ruled by the same king, to declare him the King of Orkney. Which made Mary, Queen of Scots, very angry. Because she didn't see it that way. So he just got this bit of paper that said that he was the King of Orkney, and that was
nice.
That. History has so many layers.
Yeah.
But we're learning so much on this podcast journey together.
Peel the onion.
Right. But I would love to learn more about him, but I think I would need more advanced and sophisticated research tools to do so.
We just don't have the access.
I just don't. I'm doing my best. I just don't.
We're trying.
Now, another interesting thing, which you're going to love.
Is it coastal erosion again?
No.
Oh.
No. Better. Robert Stuart married a woman called Lady Jean Kennedy.
Could that be the Kennedys of the Erskine House?
She was not of the Erskine House.
No, the Killeen Castle.
She was the daughter of Gilbert Kennedy, the third Earl of Cassillis.
Oh, shit.
Who we talked about in our Killeen Castle episode.
That's fun.
We have another link in the cinematic universe.
Nice. The GSPCU grows.
Yeah.
It's not easy to say.
You can be impressed by me. It's okay.
I'm impressed.
Right? He married a Kennedy.
Damn.
Who we talked about. Another link.
Another link.
Apparently, an English diplomat wrote in a letter that Lord Robert consumeth with love for Cassilis' sister.
Ooh.
Isn't that lovely?
Oh, sorry. I think you meant the sister of his wife.
Oh, no. Like, Cassilis is the title, so that would be the Earl.
Got you. Oh, that's nice.
But he wrote that he was just completely besotted and in love with her, which I think is nice, because you so rarely hear about a genuine historical love story.
Yeah, I think so. Because it's so often, like, political motivations. And
well, it's so often that women just get screwed over.
Yeah,
over and over again.
They get married off rather than...
Yeah. So it's lovely to hear that he seemed to be genuinely in love with his future wife.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
You wouldn't think that would be too much to ask, but...
You would hope not, but here we are.
You know. And Robert and Jean had 9 children.
Good work again.
I think 9 children. But we're going to be talking about one in particular.
Mm.
Learning about Robert was all just introduction to his son. A son called Patrick.
Patrick.
Patrick Stewart.
Very nice, very nice.
And Patrick Stewart was a shit.
Oh, that's not a sentence I thought I'd ever hear you
I
say.
I know, it hurts me a little bit. But yeah. This Patrick Stewart really was.
Maybe we should call him Paddy.
Paddy.
Patty.
Patty.
We'll call him Rick.
Well, one of his nicknames was Black Patty. But it's spelled P-A-T-I-E.
Hmm.
Black Patty, Patty. I'm going to stick with Patrick.
That's fine.
He was born in 1566. And he wasn't even supposed to become the next Earl, but he did.
Did he murder his way to it?
Well, it sounds an awful lot like a villain's origin story,
doesn't it?
He had an older brother called Henry. Patrick was the second son. But unfortunately, Henry died in 1588, or around 1588. So Patrick became the second Earl of Orkney when he was 22.
Hmm.
Now, one thing I thought was interesting is that on his official coat of arms, which he was given, he was the Earl,
mm-hmm.
That's pretty standard. It has the Scottish royal arms in 2 sections of it. But because their whole family came from a bastard,
mm-hmm.
The royal arms have a big black line through them.
Oh.
To show that, yes, you're related, but not really.
Yeah. Damn.
I thought it was a bit brutal, because it's very obvious. Mm-hmm. It goes straight through the coat of arms, and it looks quite mean.
That's intense.
Mm-hmm. But when you hear about what Patrick Stewart was like, you won't be so upset.
It just sounds weird every time.
I know.
I was thinking the other day, I don't know what the Macrae coat of arms looks like, or if there is one.
I'm not sure.
I know the clan crest looks like.
Yeah, well, you've got the kilt pin, haven't you?
Yeah, and it's on my kilt belt as well. With the fist holding the sword.
If you don't know, most clans have a crest and a motto, usually.
But I don't know if there's a coat of arms or what it looks like if there is one.
Well, this was his specifically, the coat of arms of the Earl.
Mm-hmm.
And remember I said Patrick was 1 of 9?
Yep.
Well, in 1594, 6 years after becoming the Earl, he started getting suspicious that 3 of his brothers were trying to have him killed.
Classic.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, when you have that much power, you're able to take your suspicions and your paranoias and your agendas and turn them into things that have real-world consequences.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. That's exactly what he did. He officially accused his 3 younger brothers of conspiring to kill him.
Oh, no.
But worse than that, but, you know, for the sake of the episode, it's probably better. Worse than that, he ended up igniting this whole witch trial with his accusation.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound good.
No, it's not. It's not. It's bad. It's really bad.
It's bad, you guys.
It all started first with his paranoia and suspicions, but it really kicked off properly when one of his brother's servants, his brother John, one of his servants was caught with poison on his person. And Patrick immediately believed that the poison was meant to him, meant for him. So he knew they were all guilty and everything was confirmed. He was shitting himself.
Yeah. It's an odd thing a hard thing to justify in any circumstance. What's that? Oh, it's just my poison.
It's for vermin.
It's for rats and
royal
that.
Vermin.
Yeah. The Royal Wormen.
The servant was a man called Thomas Papley, and he was imprisoned for 11 days and tortured for information.
Oh. I was like, oh, it's not so bad. I thought it was like 11 years, but oh.
I told you this was bad.
Yeah.
And it's only going to get worse. I told you. I warned you.
You did warn me. It's always torture-y in here.
So this was pretty typical of witch trials, since, you know, torture is the best way to gather completely correct and accurate information.
Absolutely.
And poor Thomas endured all kinds of horrors, including being put in a contraption called Cashelaws. It's an iron contraption that your legs were put into. And then the whole contraption was heated.
Ooh.
With your legs inside them.
That doesn't sound good.
And you were left there until your skin burned.
Yeah. Those are the wrong trousers.
Yeah, those are the wrong trousers, big time.
Don't want to wear those trousers.
And poor Thomas. He confessed.
Naturally.
He confessed to being part of a plot to kill Patrick. But he confessed to the crime, but he also implicated a woman called Alison Balfour. And she was a local healer.
Again.
And he basically did her in. Like, he said that she was a witch and everybody knew she was a witch. And she was the one that they had conspired with. And she had given them the ideas and the plans for how to kill Patrick. And this is actually one of the most famous Scottish witchcraft trials, which I didn't realise. I looked at it a bit for our witchcraft series, but I had to narrow it down to three.
Which you can check out between seasons one and two.
Yes.
Three episode miniseries on witchcraft.
Yes. It's pretty horrifying, but very interesting.
Yeah. Quite. Spooky.
It is spooky. So, Alison was accused of witchcraft and then tortured for a confession. But her torture was horrific, even by witchcraft trial standards.
Oh, no.
To start with, Patrick used his authority to have all this happen. Now, if you remember from what we talked about in our witchcraft episodes, typically, if someone was going to be tried as a witch, you had to have the Privy Council's permission.
Yep.
You couldn't just do it yourself. You had to get permission to have the witch trial from a higher court. He completely avoided all of that. He didn't do that.
Oh, no.
He just decided he was okay with a witch trial happening. So
I am above the law.
So he did it.
Oh, no.
And Alison's torturer was a man called Henry Colville. And he was a minister.
Oh, no.
He was a minister.
It's amazing the horrors that can come because of God's work.
How awful is that?
It's super awful.
And he did everything he could to secure a confession from Alison, including telling her that if she confessed, she wouldn't be executed.
Oh. And then presumably she was.
We'll get into it, but you're not wrong. She was tortured over 48 hours, but she did not break.
Wow.
She didn't confess to anything. She didn't commit to anything. Even though, like, she was in the same Cashelaws that Thomas had been in, everything, she didn't confess. So Colville, being a religious man, a man of God, a man of the church, brought in her 81-year-old husband, her young son, and her 7-year-old daughter. Jesus. And he tortured them in front of her.
What a maniac.
Now, this gets a bit brutal, so skip ahead a few minutes if this isn't your inclination.
Okay, I'll see you later.
That's you sit down. I'm going to keep the details pretty scarce, but it's torture, so it's rough. When Alison wouldn't confess, Colville began torturing her husband using something called lang irons. And this is a method of torture that involves being crushed by about 300 kilos of stones.
Hoofed.
About 700 pounds. Crushed.
Jesus.
Almost to death. Ugh. At 81 years old.
Oh no.
But Alison didn't confess.
Damn.
So Colville moved on to her son. He put the young boy's legs into an iron boot. And this had wedges in it that pressed into his legs. Basically crushing them. And then Colville hit the wedges 57 times with a mallet.
Oh.
He completely mutilated her son's legs in front of her. But she didn't confess.
Man alive. Oh.
Colville's last move, the last thing up his sleeve, was turning to Allison's 7-year-old daughter and crushing her fingers in a thumb screw.
Ooh.
If you don't know, this is like a vice, and sometimes they had sharp spikes on them that punctured the skin as they crushed your knuckles. And unfortunately for Allison, this was just too much to bear, and I can totally see why.
Yeah.
She just had to make it stop. So she confessed to witchcraft. She confessed to save her family.
That's horrendous.
Mm-hmm. She admitted, she confessed that Patrick Stewart's brothers had come to her in 1593, the year before, to discover a way that they could kill their brother without being caught. But Colville had told her that a confession wouldn't mean an execution, remember?
Yep.
She was found guilty of witchcraft because she confessed, and even though Colville had promised her safety, she was sentenced to death. She would be strangled and then burned, which was traditional for witches.
What the shit?
He completely betrayed to her.
Fucking
completely
hell.
Betrayed her, completely lied to her, after torturing her and her family. This guy might be one of the worst people we've ever talked about on the podcast.
I think so.
In my opinion.
Yeah, he's up there. If he's not number one, he's up there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a bastard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
a minister.
Days. Yeah.
That just makes it so much worse.
It does make it so much
worse. I know that pursuing witches was kind of like a religious pursuit. You were doing God's work, but
surely torturing 7-year-olds wasn't.
You know, like, they weren't guilty.
Yeah.
Oh. She was taken to Kirkwall for execution on either December 15th or the 16th, 1594. But before it was carried out, she was allowed her last words. And she used this moment to announce her innocence.
Nice.
She told the crowd that had gathered to watch her execution, which is such a weird thing to do. She told them all about the torture. She told them what Colville had done to her, what he had said to her, what he had done to her husband and her children. Her children. And she fully retracted her confession, saying the only reason she had said anything at all was to save her family.
Mm-hmm.
Which is completely true. You would totally do that.
He would have killed them all.
Mm-hmm.
It was
obviously no skin off his back.
Yeah.
But then she was strangled and burned at the stake.
Yeah.
So awful.
So awful.
And remember, all of this started because Patrick was convinced that his brothers were trying to kill him.
Oh. Because I initially thought when he said that, I wonder if he felt bad that he dragged someone else into it. So, well, no, because he gets rid of a witch.
Mm-hmm. It was his brother John's servant that got caught with the poison, remember? Which meant that John himself was charged with colluding with a witch.
Mm-hmm.
That was a crime itself, remember? You could be put to death just for associating with someone who's a witch.
Yep.
This is still the case. Now, what I'm about to tell you about his trial is going to really annoy you.
Oh, no.
It actually gives me like a little hot ball of fury in my belly. So, knowing everything that we know about what happened to Allison and her family, during John's trial, the court actually threw out the evidence that was used to execute Allison. They decided that it wasn't valid, it wasn't allowed to be used in a trial because she had been tortured to get it and had retracted her confession.
Oh, no.
So, John was acquitted.
Jesus Christ.
He was acquitted.
He was just acquitted.
Mm-hmm.
He was off. Oh, my God. Oh, oh.
When his servant was found with poison.
Oh.
Oh, and his servant was also executed. I don't know if I said that. Thomas Papley was executed too. And he had also retracted his confession before his execution. But he was ignored. And then Allison was executed afterwards anyway. Even though he'd retracted his confession, blaming her. John was acquitted, but Allison was murdered, and her family was tortured. When she did nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong at all.
And he was acquitted because the confession that was used to convict her was deemed inadmissible in court for his trial,
no.
Not for hers. Makes me so angry.
Yeah. It's insane. We're still thankful to live when we do. You know, we don't have any of this.
Well, some people don't. One of the worst things I've read for the podcast.
Just awful.
Yeah.
Just awful.
One of the only good things about this part of the tale is that Henry Colville, the torturer and minister, he was murdered, allegedly by John Stuart in 1596.
Good.
Yeah. But once again, John was acquitted and one of his servants was executed for the crime instead for what he had supposedly done.
Man, it's just the one rule for them, another for everyone else, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
God.
So, all that was started by Patrick Stewart. We have him to blame.
I'm out. That's enough.
So, yeah. That's fun.
That is fun.
Now, he got married in that same year that Henry Colville was murdered.
Mm.
He married a woman called Margaret Livingston in 1596. She was a widow, and she had lots and lots and lots of money.
Good choice.
But he eventually left her alone and penniless. He abandoned her completely.
Nice one, after taking all her money.
Yeah, he spent her money. He created a shitload of debt. He was just a shit. They didn't have any children between them. But because Patrick had lots of affairs, he had lots of children.
Mm.
Just not with her. And yeah, she ended her life completely alone, with no money.
Oh, man.
Because she had a shitty husband.
There's you trying to sell me off at the start. Could be worse. Could be Patrick Stewart.
Right?
Hmm. Although if I was Patrick Stewart, wait, get confused.
Travelling in space would be the best. Being best friends with Ian McKellen would be the best. As time passed, Patrick became more and more obsessed with his own power.
Mm.
As these people just do.
It's so often the case.
He was really oppressive and really harsh. Mm. He was awful to the people of Orkney that he lorded over. But we've heard that before too,
yep.
Unfortunately. In 1599, he built himself a castle.
Oh.
Scalloway Castle in Shetland.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I hope I'm saying that right. But he was feuding with most of his neighbouring earls and dukes and mm-hmm. other people in power at this point, everyone around him. So he didn't have many allies, but he wanted to establish his power.
Yep. Is that in Lerwick?
I don't know. I didn't check. I just know it's in Shetland.
Because I've been outside a castle in Lerwick, I think.
It might be.
Could be that one.
Might be. Scalloway Castle.
Mm.
In 1607, he built himself another castle. Earl's Palace in Kirkwall. So this is in Orkney.
Mm.
And then in 1609, the people of Orkney demanded he be brought before the Privy Council in Edinburgh.
Nice.
About bloody time.
Yeah.
Their argument was that his incapability to manage his affairs and his money made him an incapable earl. Because remember, he had loads of debt.
Well, that's fair.
Add into the mix that he was just really cruel. And you've got yourself a tyrant.
Yeah.
He's not bothered with ruling. He's not bothered about caring for the people that he has to lord over.
Yeah. Weird.
Mm-hmm. Thankfully, the Privy Council listened.
Hey.
And he was taken to the jail in Edinburgh Castle.
That's surprising.
And then to Dumbarton Castle.
Hmm.
I know, it is surprising, isn't it? That never really happens.
I know.
Especially because he's quite high up. He's an earl. Yeah. That's a big deal.
Maybe it's because he was the son of a bastard.
Maybe, I don't know. I was surprised.
Well, imagine if everybody hates them, maybe the Privy Council were just like, oh, thank God.
Maybe.
Fucking Paddy up there. Black Paddy.
Mm-hmm. But if we know anything about Patrick Stewart, then we know he's not just going to take this lying down.
Mm.
He caused an entire witch hunt to bring down his own brothers. He's not going to accept just being put in jail.
No, he's not just going to hang out and be like, oh, sorry.
No way. No way. And he didn't. Patrick sent out a plea to one of his illegitimate sons. Remember I said he had affairs? Yeah. He had an illegitimate son called Robert. And he did the thing you're not supposed to do as a parent. He got his son involved in his drama.
Nice.
And he wanted his son to get involved on his behalf. Now, I'm not a parent, but I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, you should really do that.
You keep your drama and your problems for yourself to deal with. Anyway, he managed to get a letter to Robert and demanded that he raise a rebellion in Orkney in Patrick's favour to try and overturn his imprisonment and go against the Privy Council and everything.
Sounds like it would be challenging, but I'm sure he's up to the task.
Well, you know, he wants a rebellion raised among the people who hate him.
Yeah.
There's a big flaw in this plan.
And if he's in loads of debt, he can't even pay for people to rebel on his behalf.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, let's see it through.
Might as well.
I'm willing to give someone their chance.
Give it a go.
Then if they're stupid, it's them.
It's on them.
I'll let you do the thing. Now, Robert managed to raise a whopping 700 men in support of his father.
Wow, that's impressive.
Mm-hmm. And he took hold of the Earl's Palace in Kirkwall, the one that Patrick had built.
Uh-huh.
However, after a five-week siege... Now let that sink in for a second. Five weeks is a long time.
It's a long time when you can't come in and out to get food.
Mm-hmm. He was defeated by the Earl of Caithness, which is the area... sort of most northerly on the Scottish mainland, Caithness.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Now, apparently, the Earl of Caithness was amazed at how strong the palace was.
Oh, yeah.
Because he talked about shooting cannonballs at the palace.
Uh-huh.
Because remember, this is the past. And the cannonballs that he fired split in two instead of breaking the walls down. The cannonballs split in two.
Wow.
It's such a strange image.
That is a strange image. Fire the cannons! Well, that's not supposed to happen.
Cracking like an egg or a geode or something.
Like getting inside a coconut.
Yeah. Isn't that bizarre?
That is bizarre. That's a weird thought.
Mm-hmm. But even with that, Robert was defeated. His men were defeated. Patrick's rebellion was defeated. Now, 12 of Robert's men were hanged at the palace gate.
Mm.
Brutal.
Brutal.
Robert and five of his men were taken to Edinburgh to be put on trial. Because this was effectively treason.
Yeah.
They were rebelling against the decisions of, you know, the king's justice. It's treason. I think it's treason. I could be wrong, but...
something close to...
they did bad.
Uh-huh. They done fucked up.
They did. They done fucked up. But Patrick and Robert had a plan.
Well, that's good.
They were both going to say that Robert had planned the rebellion independently and that Patrick had nothing to do with it. Because that would benefit both of them equally.
I know.
Wouldn't it?
Oh. Must be a bit thick, this Robert.
I mean, he managed to do the thing. 700 men in a 5-week siege.
It's not bad.
It's not everybody could do that.
It's not bad. Turtling.
But their plan was thwarted by one of Robert's men. The betrayal.
The betrayal.
He was called Patrick Halcrow, and he was adamant that he was acting on behalf of the Earl. That's why he did what he did. He didn't just decide to rebel against the crown.
Uh-huh.
He had orders from the Earl. He followed them through. And his story was backed up by one of his servants, a woman called Margaret Buchanan. She remembered reading a letter for Halcrow, which was from Earl Patrick.
Interesting.
Detailing what they had to do and how to do it. So Patrick definitely had something to do with the whole rebellion. And she went on. She explained how Halcrow had showed this letter to Robert, and then Robert had destroyed it immediately, saying, "I'm destroying this so it doesn't incriminate my dad." Which is pretty damning.
That is quite, quite damning.
Mm-hmm. Now, a little interesting tidbit here. Not strictly related, but do you by any chance recognise the surname Halcrow? Halcrow of Orkney?
Ooh, no, I was busy thinking I recognised the surname Buchanan.
Ah, well that's okay. The Generally Spooky podcast exam isn't for several weeks.
Okay, time to study.
You have time.
Good, 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 good.
It was Patrick Halcrow's cousin who married a certain Margaret Erskine, the youngest Erskine sibling to be convicted of murdering their nephew.
Oh.
From our House of Dun episode.
Now that's interesting.
Remember, she and her siblings poisoned their nephews so that they could claim the estate.
Yep.
And it didn't really work because one of the nephews survived. Yes. She was the youngest. She was spared her life and exiled to Orkney.
Exiled to Orkney. Oh, did she have to live on the island?
Yes.
Oh.
She married Patrick Halcrow's cousin, who was a Halcrow.
Very nice.
Another link.
Another link.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I am good.
One of my dad's friends from Orkney is a Buchanan.
Oh.
Donald.
I don't know about that. That I could look into with Donald. But she, yeah, Margaret Buchanan was his servant.
Well, there you go.
Anyway, back to our current story. Our current episode.
Current episode.
I just thought, murder. I just thought I would impress you with my linking.
I do like it. So on with the House of Dunn.
No, no. We are on Scale House.
Scale House of Mary Queen of Scots.
No, no. Scale House.
Scale House of Scale House.
Yes.
Of Orkney.
Yes.
Of the Germany Spooky Podcast.
Yes. But that won't help you pass the exam.
Just trying to butter you up.
You won't get points for writing your name.
What? What? What about if you write the name of the book, like in the English exams?
I'll give you a mark.
The book and the author.
But you have to spell it right.
That was a good one to get in early. I read this book by this person.
Anyway, Robert, Patrick's son, was convicted of possibly treason. I think treason.
It's of this crime he obviously committed.
And he was executed.
Oh.
Which is what makes me think it was treason.
Yeah.
And he was only 22.
Oh.
He was so young.
The same age Patrick Stewart was when he took the earldom.
Yeah, but that's so young.
That is young.
And people had mixed feelings about his execution because he was so young.
Mm-hmm.
I also read that he was apparently tall stature and collie countenance, which basically means he was tall and handsome. So people.
I know what that's like.
People. Yeah, okay. But this meant that people were less inclined to believe he was guilty. And we're more inclined to push for mercy than if he wasn't attractive. And this is still something that happens.
Mm-hmm.
That still happens. Chris Watts, Ted Bundy,
Jodi
Arias. I know you don't know who these people are, Kieran, but the people will know. The people who are into true crime will know who they are.
Yep, I'm not into true crime.
My people will find me.
Take you home.
Please. Needless to say, Earl Patrick's Rebellion was a complete disaster.
Yeah.
His son was executed. And after his trial, Patrick's execution followed soon after.
I was going to say, it kind of felt great.
No.
No.
Surprising, I thought. He was an earl, but, you know, he was still charged with and executed for treason.
Oh, so who's taking the earldom?
I will let you know in just a moment. But, fun fact, Earl Patrick's execution ended up having to be pushed back and delayed from its original date. Do you want to know why?
Yes.
I don't know if you know this, but it's standard... You don't know what I'm going to say yet. But it's standard practice if you're sentenced to death to be allowed to consult with a minister or a religious official of some kind to help put your soul to rest and help you find peace before you're executed.
All that good stuff.
Yeah. This happened for Patrick. That's what he was entitled to.
Uh-huh.
But the chaplain who was supposed to guide him through this difficult time realised that Patrick was completely ignorant and uneducated. So far that he couldn't read, like, scripture together.
Oh, no.
He was an earl and he couldn't recite the Lord's Prayer, which was a big deal.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it. It also fits completely with the image of him I have in my head. Of
big
just,
time.
Just being a complete dick and you don't need to know any of this. So on those grounds, the chaplain was given time to teach him just basic literacy and religion.
Wow.
Given time to enlighten him to the Catholic faith and to give him communion. And then he was executed.
So, should we read the Bible? What's that? Guys, I want to need some more time with this guy.
Basically, yeah. He couldn't recite the Lord's Prayer.
Damn.
That's unheard of.
Yeah. Mental. Just mental.
Yeah. I've mentioned it before, but if someone was sentenced to death and they were someone important or a member of the aristocracy or whatever, they weren't forced to endure the indignity of being hanged.
They got beheaded.
They did. That's another mark.
Thank you.
So that's what happened to Patrick. He was beheaded at the Mercat Cross in Edinburgh.
Oh, yeah.
On the 6th of February, 1615. And you can see where the Mercat Cross was today, actually.
Yep.
It was right beside St Giles Cathedral.
That's where we joined the tour we took that we talked about in the Greyfriars Kirkyard episode.
The City of the Dead tour.
Yes. That's us officially reference every episode of this season.
Have we?
It's pretty good going.
Wow.
I think.
Possibly, yeah. Oh, I'm good. Well, yeah, there's a monument there now where the Murcott Cross used to be, but it's a replica that was built in the Victorian times. Mm-hmm. But the spot is the same. You can still go there. So that's Patrick Stewart.
That's Patrick Stewart.
That is the story of Patrick Stewart. After his execution, we're getting to your question now.
Yeah.
His titles were forfeited, so they couldn't be handed down to any of his children.
Yeah.
He had committed treason, he was executed. So this is how the estate that Scales sits on was passed to a man called George Graham, who was a bishop. You know, remember, this episode is actually titled Scale House, not, yep. not Patrick Stewart. I hope you like a winding tale, because that's all I do.
Telling you how confused people would be. Oh, look for a podcast about Patrick Stewart. Well, here's a nice one.
This will be a chill time.
Won't this be fun? Spooky Patrick Stewart stories. I wonder if it's him reading spooky stories.
I wonder if he'll talk about X-Men. Now, George Graham was the man responsible for building some of the original parts of the house that are standing today.
Cool.
He had it built in 1620. So Scale House actually just had its 400th anniversary in 2020.
Very nice.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Mm.
So it's been changed a bit over time, as these things do, but
naturally.
He had a house built there in 1620. And I couldn't find out too much about him, again, with my limited skill. But George was the Bishop of Orkney from 1615, the same year that Patrick was executed, until 1638. He moved there to become the bishop. We don't need to know too much about him. It's fine. Basically, this guy had a lot of land and a lot of property. From what I can see, he took over several of Patrick's properties, including the Earl's Palace.
Oh, nice.
That was his official residence.
Damn.
Yeah, like that's pretty major.
Just comprehending. Just like, so do you think you could, like, copy the Bishop of Orkney? Like, we'll give you this castle and this other castle, and all this giant land, and all these servants. So they're like, yeah, I suppose I can go and do that.
Well, you know, if it's God's will.
Yeah, if God wants me to do it, I shall do it. Not bad.
Yeah, he had several estates, several different palaces. You know, he was having a good time.
Is that Palai?
Palai. Don't think so. Now, I heard conflicting things about his reputation, so I'm going to tell you both sides. It's only fair. To some, George was an extremely kind man. He was generous. He was caring, as you would want a bishop to be.
Mm-hmm.
And according to different accounts, he had either 5 or 9 children. I've seen both. I don't know. I don't have access to those kinds of records. But to other people, he was a bad bishop. And he actually had to resign as the Bishop of Orkney in 1638. Mm. He didn't choose to leave, and he didn't die. He had to resign. Apparently, he was too lenient on witches.
Oh, no.
How dare he?
How dare he indeed.
But don't get too supportive of him just yet, because apparently he was also too lenient on people committing adultery and incest.
Oh.
Too lenient. Ew. Feel like there should be no leniency.
Yeah.
Ew. Yeah.
The adultery just is a weird one when, like, the Earl previously, he can just have all these affairs and have all these illegitimate children. And I was just like, sweet, yeah. Well, I mean, he's the Earl, of course he does. But adultery, like, can't be had by anybody else. Weird.
Double standards.
Yeah, big time.
Well, same with kings and queens.
Yeah.
Kings mainly.
Yeah.
It's expected that a king will have a mistress or several.
Yeah, have all these mistresses and all these illegitimate children.
Yeah.
But nobody else can.
But apparently the bishop was too lenient.
Yeah. Well, maybe he was there, like, well, I mean, the Earl can. I'm doing it all the time. I'm a bishop.
But then he would have had a really good lesson, because he arrived as Patrick died. He went, well, this guy had affairs. Look what happened to him.
As his illegitimate children are still there, probably.
Probably. And, you know, one of them's dead.
Yeah, unless they were also took part in the rebellion.
I don't know.
May have, may not have.
I don't know. I did see the names of some of the other conspirators, but there were no other Stuarts there. However, even though he wasn't the bishop anymore, he was allowed to keep all of his property. So Scale House stayed in his possession.
Oh, you got to just hang around in it, just not as a bishop.
Yeah, he got to keep everything.
So he got to retire and keep all of his land.
Yeah, he had it until he died in 1643 when he was 78.
Oh, dang. When did he give up his bishopdom?
1638. So he had 5 years.
Huh.
And then he died.
And he was 78. So he gave up his bishopdom at 73.
Yeah.
Damn.
You know, it's a life's calling.
Yeah.
For a lot of people.
And 78 in...
In 1643.
That's good work.
No bad.
And the other husband was 81.
Mm-hmm. And then tortured.
Yeah. I did... There's a thing about that. Like, people have a kind of natural life expectancy. And the reason the average has gone up is that there's now less things that can, like, get you on the way. Because we have, like, antibiotics and stuff like that. But if you manage to, like, go through life in the 1500s without getting a really bad, like, infection or, like, really a bad illness, like, you will just... You can live till you're 80 and stuff.
Or, you know, like, avoiding wild animals.
Yeah, yeah. Pirates, stuff like that. Witches, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
This was all the start of a long-running history and tradition at Scale. Because George's son, another John, became the first Laird of Scale.
Oh.
And Scale House has been in the same family for the past 400 years.
Whoa.
It hasn't changed.
Damn.
This is where it started.
That's good work.
Mm-hmm.
Always think that's impressive.
Isn't it? Quite incredible, really.
Yeah. Because there's, like, generational wealth tends to only last, like, 3 generations.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Yeah, 3 or 4. So it's weird.
Well, it's been 400 years. I think there's been 11 Lairds. I think we're currently on the 11th Laird.
Damn.
And it's a direct descendant line.
Lineage.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
We're going to skip ahead in Scale's timeline, 200 years to 1850.
1850?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And I'm about to hit you with a curveball.
Oh.
A hugely significant and important year, not only in the history of Scale, but in the history of Orkney.
Oh.
It's a bold claim, but I'm about to prove why I'm being absolutely truthful.
Oh, can I guess? It's no longer part of Denmark and Norway. Okay, no, I don't know.
No, that stopped. I looked that up. Oh, what was it? I think it was technically under Scottish law from 1611.
Oh, cool. Only a little while before.
I can't remember. I should have checked. I can't remember. No, that's not it. Yeah, any other guesses?
For Orkney, a volcano erupted.
On Orkney.
It's a wild guess, but...
You don't get marks for effort. That's not going to pass the exam.
Ugh. Oh, hate exams.
In 1850, Orkney was hit with a really big storm.
Oh.
Not entirely uncommon, from what I've heard about Orkney. You know, it's exposed. It's an island.
Turns into Atlantis.
It doesn't turn into Atlantis. Okay. But the land around Scale House, was moved around and disturbed, since it's quite near the coast.
Uh-huh.
The wind picked it up and moved it around and disturbed it. Any guesses as to what was revealed by the storm?
Ooh. Ancient houses?
Only the world-famous, historically amazing Scarabray.
Oh!
Basically right on Scale House's doorstep.
Wow. That means I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. You went with your mum and dad?
I did, yeah. I'm pretty sure. We went on holiday when I was younger.
Do you want to talk about it? What you remember?
Literally don't remember anything. I was like 10. I don't know.
You were 10. You can remember things when you're 10.
Not me. Other people, maybe.
Well, luckily I've done some research.
Big stones. I think.
I would love to go to Scarabray. I just want to go to Orkney.
So that's come up.
Hmm?
This has come up before?
Yeah, I've never been. I'd love to go. Well, since you don't want to talk about it, Scarabray is a Neolithic village that was revealed after the 1850 storm. And it was extraordinarily well preserved after being covered up for so long. That's what saved it. The village was dated in the 1970s and estimated to have been built around 3200 BC.
Wow. 5,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Isn't it? It said a lot about Scarabray, but it's actually older than both Stonehenge and the Great Pyramid of Giza.
Wow.
It's older.
Jeez, oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird, isn't it?
Now, archaeologists believe that anywhere between 50 to 100 people lived there, and it's given us an insane glimpse into what life was like for them. Pardon me. The houses were unearthed, but were found to still have furniture and personal possessions in them.
What?
I have a little list of the things that they found.
How did it get covered up?
I'm going to explain that.
Oh.
But they found dressers,
mm-hmm.
with, like, shelves, beds,
uh-huh.
hearths for fireplaces, and little tanks in the floor of some of them, where they think they prepared, like, fish and bait.
Because
there's no... There's just a little tank in the ground.
Oh.
They found them. They found dice, tools, pottery, jewellery, and these really interesting stone carvings.
Very cool.
It's actually phenomenal. I want to go so badly.
Wow.
They've also found these lumps of red ochre, which is like a dye, and they think that these were used because these people painted themselves.
Oh.
So they found these big lumps of dye. And they've also found these huge, big, like, sharp flakes of stone. And these were used as knives.
Uh-huh.
And they found them all over Orkney, and they're known as scale knives. But they're just big flakes of stone where they've, like, hit them to get these really sharp blades. But interestingly, archaeologists didn't find any weapons at Scarabray.
Interesting.
A knife like the scale knives was a tool.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't a weapon. But yeah, no weapons.
Hmm.
Now, the people living here, they were at a really important point in the history of humanity. Because they were farming, and they were living in one place for the first time.
Oh.
This is probably the first time that humankind had experienced, like, plenty.
Uh-huh.
They could farm more than they could eat. Which hadn't happened before.
Yeah.
And they didn't have to travel to survive. They weren't following, you know, like, herds of deer and things like that. They could settle down in one place. Which hadn't really happened. And they farmed animals. There's evidence that they farmed animals. They hunted animals. They gathered for food. They fished for food, but they didn't use hooks. They used traps.
Oh, nice.
Now, it sounds rudimentary now, but these developments were huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hugely significant. They even had a really basic and a really early version of a sewer system.
Very cool.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
Now, you were saying... what covered them up?
Yes. How did they?
Well, when they were initially built, they were built into the ground rather than above it.
Well, that would do it.
Which is part of the reason they're so well preserved. The houses are sunk into the ground, which insulated them, so it would have helped keep them warm, and it protected the homes, and it camouflaged them as well.
Yeah.
The houses are built into, it's called a midden. They were basically built into piles of their own, like, rubbish. And that helped camouflage them. You can't really see them from far away.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason. They were already sunk. People were living there until around 2200 BC.
Nice.
And there's a few reasons put forward why they left. The first is that sand dunes were moving in on the houses.
Oh, yeah. Can't move them, can you?
Yeah, so, you know, they're filling, being covered with sand. Another reason was that the climate was changing. It was getting a lot wetter and a lot colder, so they didn't want to stay.
Yeah.
And another explanation was just that there was a big storm that meant they had to leave. And I actually have two different experts' opinions on this, if you would like to hear what they have to say.
I would love to.
A man called Evan Haddingham claims, quote, "As was the case at Pompeii, the inhabitants seem to have been taken by surprise and fled in haste. For many of their prized possessions, such as necklaces made from animal teeth and bone, or pins of walrus ivory, were left behind.
Uh-huh.
The remains of choice meat joints were discovered in some of the beds, presumably forming part of the villagers' last supper. One woman was in such haste that her necklace broke as she squeezed through the narrow doorway of her home, scattering a stream of beads along the passageway outside as she fled the encroaching sand."
Mmm. Well.
Now, to measure that...
That's a paint a picture.
Anna Ritchie, historian, says, quote, "A popular myth would have the village abandoned during a massive storm that threatened to bury it in sand instantly, but But the truth is that its burial was gradual, and that it had already been abandoned. For what reason, no one can tell.
Huh. And you don't know who's right.
Mm-hmm.
They both claim the truth, but neither of them know the truth.
So yeah, we're not really sure why they left.
Yeah. But... I wonder if there was, like, an attack. So they, like... they got attacked, but then they couldn't plunder the house because they couldn't see the house to find the house.
There's no skeletons.
Well, they could be elsewhere. They didn't get murdered in their homes.
Mm. Maybe.
They went out to fight, and then they died or got captured or whatever.
Yeah, it could have been.
But then they couldn't find the house to ransack it, if they were quite camouflaged.
Yeah, they were quite well hidden. We don't really know. Don't really know why they left. But I was really surprised to find that Scarabree is... next to Scale House. You can see Scale House from Scarabree.
Yeah, that's weird.
Can They're so close together.
Being the bishop, or no, not the bishop, we're 200 years ahead. Being whoever owns it, being like, oh man, that was a bit of a storm. Let's check, like, all the tiles are on the roof.
Yeah.
And you come outside and there's this ancient dwelling appeared in your garden.
Well, it was when the 7th Laird of Scale was in charge, a man called William Graham Watt, that Scarabree was discovered.
Oh.
So not the bishops. Not the bishop. Laird number 7.
Laird number 7.
William.
Very cool.
Isn't it? I knew you'd like hearing about that.
Yeah.
Now, historically, William, who I just told you about, he's always been the one credited with excavating the site, discovering that it had been revealed, and really discovering Scarabree. Mm-hmm. But from what I've read, that's not actually the case.
Mm. He just lived there.
Dun, dun, dun. Well, William was 73 when Scarabree was revealed in the storm. Now, I don't know about you, but I would be very surprised to see a 73-year-old excavating an archaeological site.
I mean, if it was your granda, I wouldn't.
Very true. Granny or granda.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Generally, yes.
I mean, typically. I'm not saying it's impossible.
No.
I would just be very surprised because it's very physical.
Mm-hmm.
It's day in, day out. A lot of hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it can't happen. I would just be surprised.
Not going to get in trouble.
It looks like it was actually one of William's relatives who was also called William Watt.
Ah, I see the problem.
Yeah, who excavated the site. But he had an interest in archaeology and geology.
Mm.
And he met Hugh Miller, the geologist, and they sent letters.
Very cool.
And he was from Cromarty. But over the years, he's been forgotten and misremembered.
Hmm.
The credit's been given to someone else, the Laird of the House.
Just waiting for someone to dig up the truth.
Come see me after class. So yeah, hopefully this can set the record straight a little bit. That it wasn't actually the Laird, it was a member of his family.
Very cool.
Who did...
the grunt work.
Yeah, who did a huge amount of the excavation and exploration of the site.
Very, very cool.
What surprised me was after its initial discovery, we're in 1850, Scarabree was completely abandoned in 1868.
Hmm.
They just left it. They didn't do anything else with it. They just left it.
Cool! Well, that's that done.
Kinda, yeah.
Somewhere for the kids to play.
Well, in 1913... a group of mysterious, still unknown, terrible thieves raided Scarabree and stole, quote, an unknown quantity of artifacts, unquote. Just gone.
Why were they just left there?
I don't know. It's completely alien. They've got a big old house.
They could have taken them all inside.
And then in 1924... the bad luck continued because one of the houses of Scarabree was completely swept away in a storm.
Oh no.
Entirely.
Look. That's not good.
And that's the thing. The sand and the location of Scarabree is the reason it survived so long. The reason that it's so well preserved. But it's also a constant threat.
Yeah.
Because it's constantly at the risk of being damaged by just storms the coast and erosion.
You can't even imagine what the land looked like in 3200 BC. Yeah. Like how far they were from the coast.
Well, it seems like it was a good site because, I don't know if I've said this already, you've got the coast on one side, but on the other you have Loch Scale. So they had access to fresh water.
Yeah, cool.
So it was in a good place. but presumably it was further away from the sea.
Yeah. You know, that's like 5,000 years ago. Presumably it was just part of Pangaea, you know?
You're a scientist. You have to know that's not correct. Finally, after the house was destroyed in 1924, Scarabray was secured and locked down.
Too little, too late.
Rescued. Yes. And studied.
Well, that's good.
And as of 1999, it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site, along with other Neolithic sites in Orkney. It's part of the Neolithic Heart of Orkney.
Very cool.
Rightfully, too. I don't know why they didn't do it sooner.
Yeah. Not as well organised back then. Mm-hmm. Can we Google it?
So, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Scarabray.
That's pretty cool.
Right on the doorstep.
Well, that's the perfect opportunity for some spook.
Right. Unfortunately, I can't see that Scarabray is haunted in any way.
Oh.
There are no stories.
Oh.
But that is not the case for Scale House.
Oh. Dun, dun, dun.
Now, I said before, Scale House has been owned by the same family for 400 years. The 11th Laird, Henry William Scarth, was the last Laird to actually live in the house.
Oh.
In the 1900s. He served in World War I.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a lot of changes and extensions and things to the house in the 1950s. And that's a lot of what you can see today. So some of the original bits were George Graham, but a lot of it was built by Henry.
Makes sense.
And then also we're currently on our 12th Laird, I beg your pardon. In 1991, Major Malcolm McRae inherited Scale House.
Oh.
Another McRae.
Another McRae.
Spooky.
An awful lot of McRae's in Stuart.
I know.
You're just biased, aren't you?
It's almost like we live in Scotland.
What?
Now, Malcolm McRae hasn't lived in the house. I don't think he ever lived in the house.
Uh-huh.
He inherited it in 1991. Weird. And he went ahead with lots of restoration work.
Uh-huh.
To save the house, protect the house.
Uh-huh.
And he did this over 6 years. He's put a lot of work and a lot of time in.
Yeah.
And in 1997, it was open to the public for the first time.
Oh, wow.
So now you can walk around it. You can go visit Scale House. It's like a living 1950s time capsule. It's done in the style of Henry. And you can see all kinds of artifacts and things. You can go see the actual bed that George Graham slept in.
Huh.
They still have it. And you can stay at Scale House.
Can you?
Yes, they have, I think, 2 self-catering apartments.
Oh, that would be fun.
And I want to stay.
I know. Did you see how much it was?
No. Probably. But there's 2 apartments and they're in the north wing of the house. And they're dog friendly.
Oh.
So we can totally go and take Odin with us.
Stop eating that 400-year-old man.
He's a good boy. He wouldn't.
He probably wouldn't do that.
He's not a chewer of furniture like that.
So where does General Major McRae, I've forgotten his title already, where does he live? Is he in
Orkney? Not sure. I'm not sure where he stays.
Hmm.
I don't know why. I think I just assumed it was too personal, so I didn't even look. He doesn't live at the house,
basically.
And it's open to the public.
Very cool.
And that's the history.
Very nice.
That's the background and the origin story of the house.
So then, those of you who are looking for where to skip for the spook, here's where you skip to.
I think you need to know the history to appreciate the spook.
I think so. Otherwise you're like, who's that?
Well, you hear about all of these things happening there and around there. And it makes total sense that somewhere like that would be haunted, you know? Instead of just looking at a place and hear, oh, there's a ghost in there. You're like, aye, okay.
A ghost?
But, you know.
I think so. I think the history has it.
Well, while its vast history is very interesting and very informative, its Scale's haunted reputation that most people know it for. And that's what caught my interest several years ago. So many people have come away from Scale having experienced something they can't explain.
Ooh.
It's happened to loads of people. So many people have stories. And when I tell you what happened when they were building the house throughout the 1900s, you might be able to figure out why. Even you, a non-believer.
Oh, not because I'm stupid.
No.
I thought you were just savaging me.
Not on this occasion. Now, I told you that restoration work happened in the 90s, remember?
Yep.
Before the house opened to the public. And this included some pretty heavy-duty renovations. They were going, like, down to the foundations, that kind of renovation. It was major. while they were doing this, builders dug up 15 skeletons.
Oh, no.
To the south of the house, in front of the east porch. 15.
Mm.
And they were analysed by experts, and get ready, these were Norse skeletons.
Wow. Like
Viking skeletons.
What?
The scale house, the house is built on top of a Norse burial ground.
Whoa. What if that's the skeletons of the people in Scarborough?
Maybe.
Because you just said, where's the skeletons? Right there. They're right there.
Maybe. Absolutely. But yeah.
Crazy.
Now, having found this out, they decided, they had them examined and everything. They decided that the best thing to do would be to put the skeletons back under the house.
I mean, what else would you do?
So that's what happened.
That's what happened.
The skeletons were very carefully and very respectfully buried again.
Yeah.
So they're still there.
That is weird.
And if that wasn't enough, this wasn't the first ancient burial ground to be discovered underneath Scale House.
Oh, no.
In the 1930s, when Henry Scarth was making his changes to the house, the flagstone floor of the main hall, you know, flagstones, big stones, it was pulled up so that it could be replaced with wooden flooring instead.
With an actual floor.
Yeah. The floor came up, the ground underneath the house was exposed, and multiple skeletons were found underneath the house. And these skeletons were dated back to the Pictish times.
Wow.
So another ancient burial ground.
That's crazy. It's a different time.
Yeah. And I read that there were no records of this being found when the house was first built. So it means they either didn't care that it was there, it wasn't of note, they just built it anyway. Or they just didn't notice and built the house on top of it. Like the original house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder how deep they would have had to dig for foundations and stuff.
I don't know, because it would have been built differently to how it would have been built in the 30s. Weird. But there was nothing written down that these skeletons were under the main hall. So you have to presume that they didn't know.
Maybe they find them and just went, no, he's mental, I don't want to tell him about this.
We're just going to pretend that this didn't happen. Now, I don't know how much you know about superstition or beliefs in the afterlife, Kieran. But this isn't great.
I mean, I can put two and two together.
Two ancient burial grounds disturbed as part of the process of building and maintaining this house.
Under your house.
I would be afraid. I'm not going to lie.
It's not great.
That would freak me out.
Mm-hmm.
Two different ones. Two. Not even just like one.
Not ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Not ideal as far as the spooking goes.
Mm-hmm. But or also kind of cool.
Or maybe ideal as far as the spooking goes.
Well, you've set up the perfect circumstances, haven't you?
If you were looking for spooking, as we
that's
so often
you,
are.
That's where you're going to find them. Possibly the most well-known legend to come from Scale House is the legend of a man called Ubby.
Ubby.
U-B-B-Y.
Hmm.
The island builder. Now, apparently Ubby was a local man who lived near Scale. And he began picking up large, heavy stones from the shore of Loch Scale, which I mentioned, and the surrounding area. And he would put these stones into the small rowboat that he owned. And he rowed out into the middle of the loch, and he dropped each stone in. Each one in the middle of the loch. And then he rowed back to shore. And he did this the next day, and the day after, for weeks, for months. Eventually, with all the stones that he dropped into the loch, a small islet began to form.
Yeah.
As the rocks reached the surface of the loch. And when the islet was clear to see, Ubby rowed out to it one last time and never came back. He died on his island.
Oh.
And you can see the islet in Loch Scale.
That's cool.
There is an islet there.
That is cool.
Now, a lot of people believe that Ubby is one of the ghosts haunting Scale House.
Ooh.
Although no one is sure why.
I was just about to say.
Because he didn't live there.
Yeah.
But a lot of people report seeing figures, and it's believed to be him.
Well, there you go. On what basis?
It's an associated story.
Yeah. That's a cool story.
Mm-hmm. One thing I came across while I was doing my research, which will interest you, Kieran, specifically, was that Abbi's story seems to echo stories from Norse mythology. The Jotuns, the giants, were known for building bridges.
Oh.
And stories about a figure called Cubby Rú come from all over Orkney. And he was a giant who often caused mayhem and destruction by dropping stones out of the big basket on his back.
Oh, wow.
Which he carried to build bridges across the Orkney Islands. And there's lots of places where the story is that he dropped the stones and it formed this rock formation or this part of the coast. And there's a similar thing in Norse mythology where there's landmarks and pieces of land that are supposedly the Jotuns who have been building bridges.
Very cool.
So that's interesting too.
That is interesting. And you were right, I did enjoy that.
I thought you would. You like Norse mythology.
I like Norse mythology.
The current Laird, Malcolm McRae, has talked about a couple of ghostly encounters he's had in the house.
Ooh.
Now, he owns it.
Yeah.
The first was when he was working at the top of the house, in the attic. There's like an office there.
Uh-huh.
While he was working, he suddenly smelled what he described as fresh cigarette smoke. As if someone were smoking at least nearby, but it smelled more like someone was in the room smoking a cigarette. It wasn't a smell that was left over from years ago. It wasn't stale. After smelling it and not being able to tell where it was coming from, since he wasn't smoking and there was no one else in the room, an employee came into the office and they smelled the same thing.
Weird.
And neither of them had any idea where it came from.
Ooh.
And other people have smelled the same thing in different parts of the house.
That's weird. It's weird when it's a smell.
Especially, I feel like that's a really distinctive smell.
Yeah.
Cigarette smoke.
Uh-huh.
Which I'm not smoking right now. I swear.
Just smoking a doob.
No, I'm just drinking gin.
With your doob.
No. Glass is covered in condensation.
Oh, good thing you got a coaster over there.
Shut up. Malcolm's second encounter happened when he was doing work to the house before it reopened. He did quite a lot of it himself when he worked there.
Yeah, very cool.
And he was there alone with only his dog for company.
Yeah.
Side note, I think if I were forced to be somewhere haunted by myself, I would want Odin with me.
I mean, not that he'd be much good.
He's clingy and he loves me.
That's true.
He would protect me.
That's true.
And he did that thing at the back door when we came back from Greyfriars Kirkyard.
He did bark at nothing.
Which I'm convinced was something spooky, because he's not done it before and he hasn't done it since.
He's barking his own arse.
No, he wasn't, because we've seen him do that. This is different. I'm not saying he doesn't do that. He didn't do it that time. Point is, I think he would be a good ghost guard dog.
Yes, fair enough.
He probably wouldn't look after you. I think he would look after me.
Yeah, I think so. He does bark more when you're here than when you're not here.
I think he would just leave you to the ghosts.
Yeah, he's fine.
I'm going to go get Mum.
Where Mum's hanging out. I'm going to go see.
Malcolm was doing work in the house. It was late at night. It was dark. There's not too much around scale house. And no one else was there. It was way too late to expect any employees or workmen to be there. But Malcolm swears up and down that he heard someone walking through the house.
Oh.
He heard footsteps echoing around the building.
That must be weird, because I imagine in a big old building like this, you'd hear it. You know, and in my head, they're always like stiletto footsteps.
Well, he heard it, and so did his dog. And his dog started properly barking. Like their hackles went up. You know, the fur on the back of a dog's neck. Hackles up, really loud barking. And then the dog bolted out of the room that they were in. He just ran.
The dog packed up his notes and got out of there.
So Malcolm, obviously concerned because his dog is going mental.
Uh-huh.
You know, he started worrying that someone's in the house.
Well, that would be their first thought, wouldn't it? That
the dog's heard something and I haven't heard it. So he searched all over. He searched where he had thought he heard the footsteps coming from. But there was no one there.
Mm.
No one in the house at all. And he did find his dog.
Well, that's good. That would have been a damn shame if he lost his dog after that.
Oh, I'd be heartbroken.
Yeah.
Malcolm's dog isn't the only dog that's acted strangely in the house either.
And you want to take our dog here?
Yes. He has to protect me. Well, a group of visitors were staying in one of the apartments that I mentioned, and they had their dog with them. And they were all asleep, and they said that it was like the very, very early hours of the morning. And their dog suddenly went mental. I can only imagine it's similar to what Odin does when he gets a fright.
Yeah, or like if the postie's here and he suddenly just goes, ah!
Yeah, if the postie comes and he's sound asleep, he goes absolutely mental.
Yep.
Because he gets a fright, he scares himself.
Yeah.
I can only imagine this is what happened to them. The dog started barking, and then the dog started growling.
Mm.
And you can tell when a dog is growling because it's scared or stressed.
Uh-huh.
There's a difference in the sound. There's plain growling, and there's what this dog was doing. It's just different. And then they said their dog started howling. They said, quote, it howled like it had never howled before.
Weird.
So naturally, they got up to see what was wrong, since the dog was obviously upset.
And to go, shh.
I don't know if it's the middle of the night like that, and your dog is acting like that.
Yeah, you would do as you're crapping yourself, wouldn't you?
Not, I would struggle telling them off, because I don't know what they've heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I've done that with him before. If he's, like, barking at someone that we don't know who's coming near the house, or yeah. Someone who's acting in a weird way and he barks, I'm not going to shout at him for that, because I don't mind him doing that. They got up to see what was wrong. But when they moved to check and they opened the door, the dog bolted out of the room. It ran for a bit, and then it started cowering under one of their beds, and it would not come out.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm. The group searched. They couldn't see anything wrong. They looked everywhere. They couldn't hear anything. They couldn't see anything. All they could see was this dog hiding and shaking under the bed.
Wild.
So they just had to assume something had happened that they couldn't see or hear.
That's mental.
Isn't it?
That would freak even me out.
I would pee my pants Odin did that to us while we were away somewhere. I would pee my pants. I'm not too proud to say it.
No, that would be awful. Oh, no. Especially with, like, the cowering.
Yeah, the cowering and shaking under the bed.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. How creepy is that?
And then I'd be there going, oh, he pooped on a 400-year-old rug. Oh,
I can't afford this. Deposit's not going to cover this.
Yes, the £5 cleaning deposit for the dog does not include this.
Another man who stayed the night in the apartments experienced something a bit different during his stay. He had just gone to bed and had just gotten settled under the duvet, ready to sleep. The lights were off. Everything's dark.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's quiet. But it was just as he was settling in to go to sleep, he felt someone sit down beside him on the bed.
Blech. Grim.
Mm-hmm. And he did what anyone else would do. He jumped up immediately because he was convinced that someone was in his room
mm-hmm.
when they shouldn't be. But before he could get out of bed, he felt the weight at the end of it lift as if someone had stood up.
Uh-huh.
And then it completely disappeared. Like someone had sat down at the end of the bed, gotten up, and left.
Oh, spooky.
But there was no one else in the building.
Oh. That's weird.
Mm-hmm. That's creepy.
That is creepy.
It's a bit of a tangent, but I remember Jenna Marbles talking about that in one of her videos.
Oh, yeah?
That happened to her.
Really?
Yeah, she was at a summer camp, I think. And it happened to her.
Ooh.
She felt like someone sit down on the bed and then leave.
Weird.
And she was too scared to, like, turn the light on.
Uh-huh. Ugh.
Mm-hmm. Not strictly related, but it popped into my head.
Relatively related.
An employee of the house, a woman working in the gift shop, saw the reflection of a man in the shop when it was supposed to be closed. No one was supposed to be in there. The place was empty. They were all getting ready to go home.
I imagine as a woman, that would terrify you.
Yeah, I would hate that.
Yeah.
I would struggle going back in if I was there by myself, if it was a man's reflection.
Uh-huh. And even just to see there's a man in there who shouldn't be there, like, oh fuck, who the fuck's he? What's he doing here?
Well, yeah, like, what am I going to do?
And then to turn around and see there's no one there, you're like, oh fuck, there's no one here. Is that better or is that worse?
Well, she remembers that he was tall and... not really. He had dark hair that was going thin on the top, which is quite a specific detail.
Uh-huh.
Now, she was worried because the place was supposed to be empty. She searched the whole house, searched everything, but again, no one was there.
Creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Remember Abby?
Yep. What's Abby up to?
What's Abby up to now?
What's that Abby up to? Ugh.
Joking aside, that would scare me.
Yeah, that'd be really creepy. It always gets me in horror films where there's the person in the bathroom and they're looking in the bathroom mirror and then they open cabinet and they close it and then there's something in the mirror. Gets me every time. Even like...
yeah.
Like it's quite a trope, but it always gets me. Like, you know what's coming? Oh, there's going to be something in the mirror. It's going to be something in the mirror. And they close it and there's something in the mirror. I'm like, oh God, there's something in the mirror.
It's the anticipation.
Yeah.
That's what gets you. I don't know if we've talked about this in the podcast before, but I can't watch horror movies.
No.
I could talk about the stuff we talk about on the podcast up and down every day. Can't watch horror movies.
Can't watch horror movies.
They scare me too much.
I love a horror movie.
You do. You do. I just can't fulfill that place in your heart, unfortunately.
Because I don't particularly like them by myself. I enjoy the group experience. I used to go and see them in the cinema with friends when we were in Glasgow.
Maybe if more people start listening to the podcast, you could have watch parties of horror movies.
I'm not just... we haven't started this podcast so I can make some friends.
Kieran needs friends. He's turned to the internet for help. Pete, if you're listening, this joke is for you. Anyway, we should move on with the spooky stories.
Are there more?
Yes.
Oh.
I told you, there's so many. And these are just the ones I could... like, find good accounts of. There's other people who have sort of left comments around the internet saying things that have happened to them. It's a big thing.
Well, then colour me spooked and let's get into it.
Okay. A visitor to the house. Someone who was doing the tour.
Not like an alien visitor.
No, not an alien visitor. A visitor. She was touring around the rooms and this woman remembers being in the gun room.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a question and she asked her guide about what was in there. And the man was very polite and he answered her question for her in lots of detail. And later, when she was leaving, she spoke to another guide, a female guide, about her question and the answer she'd received.
Mm-hmm.
But before she could get going properly, the guide stopped her in her tracks completely. Because no male members of staff were working that day.
Bull.
So who answered her question?
Who answered her question? That's weird.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't have been a guide.
Hmm.
Had to be someone very knowledgeable.
A very masculine female guide?
I feel...
Probably not.
No. Yeah.
The bearded lady.
I'm glad I got you with a little fright on that one.
Yeah. Gross.
My second last story comes from other employees of the house. Cleaners who were supposed to clean the apartments because the guests that were staying there had checked out that morning.
Mm-hmm.
They got everything together, ready to prepare the rooms and get them clean, and were standing in the courtyard getting ready to go up. One of the cleaners looked up at the apartments, just weighing, and she saw a woman standing in one of the doors to the apartment. And she said she was an older woman and she had a shawl over her head. And the cleaner realised with a jolt, like, oh shit, we can't go in and clean the apartment.
Yeah.
The guests haven't left yet. We can't go in around them. So the cleaners all saw the woman and said, all right, we'll just leave it. We'll clean it later once they've checked out, once they've left. Pretty standard. Until later that day, when they were asked by their boss why they hadn't cleaned the apartment like they were supposed to.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't ready for guests yet. It had to be cleaned. And the cleaners explained, well, you know, it's policy. We can't go in while guests are still there to clean while they're in the room. That's rude. We can't do that. But they were told that not only had the guests just left the apartment early that morning, they'd left Orkney early that morning. There's absolutely no way that the guests were still there by the time the cleaners got there.
Ooh.
There was no one in that apartment.
Spooky. That's weird.
Hmm.
I can't imagine what it's like to experience something like that.
Something that clear.
Yeah, and then just to have that, like, stomach drop realization.
Well, see, to me, that there's a ring of authenticity about that one. Because they got in trouble from their boss. Like, they did something they shouldn't have done.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that for no reason.
No.
You wouldn't... I don't think you would risk getting sort of admonished or anything just to put off a job.
So no matter how hungover you were and didn't want to go to work.
No, well, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You just... It's not natural. You just wouldn't do that.
No.
So I like that story.
No phones during the presentation, please.
I need my phone for this next bit, actually.
Well, we're going to find somewhere else. Some other way to do it?
No.
Are you playing me something?
I'm going to show you something.
Ooh.
Bear with me.
It's going to be that goat screaming, isn't it?
Oh. Okay. So there was no one in the apartment. Second last story.
Yep.
I always save something good for the end of the episode.
You do. We had the devil's chariot last time.
Yes.
That's phenomenal.
My last story, if you are listening to this, dear podcast listener who we love so much, you might want to have your phone or your laptop handy because there's a photo involved in this one.
Oh.
And I'll have the photo up on our Instagram. I'll have it in show notes all over the place. You'll be able to find it. Fiona Scott is a Scottish wedding photographer whose website and things I will have linked. She was working at Scale House for a client's wedding day in 2018. So 3 years ago.
Yep.
She was taking in the whole venue, the whole day, you know, following the party around and getting all those nice, I don't want to say background photos, but
the B-roll.
Not just the bride and groom. You want photos of the whole day. That's what she was doing. And she was standing outside the front of Scale House. And she was taking some pictures of the whole venue because it's a pretty stunning building. Took her pictures as normal, went about the day. But when she was looking back through them, one of the photos isn't right.
Oh, no.
Now, when she was taking these photos, the ones on the outside of Scale House, everyone had moved outside. Nobody was in the house because otherwise she would have had to be in there taking photos of them.
Yep.
In one of the photos, it's fairly clear that there's a figure in one of the windows.
Ooh.
It's a silhouette. You can't really make out detail, but it does look like a figure when no one was in the building. Now, I'm going to pass my phone over to Kieran for his fresh reaction. He has never seen this photo. What do you think?
I do hate reaction videos.
This isn't a reaction video.
Ooh. That's pretty weird.
Right? Can you see?
I can see. Little person.
I didn't point anything out to him.
Middle window.
He has found what I am referring to all by himself.
Yep, I see it. I see that piece of furniture in a window.
It's not furniture. It's not. It looks like a person.
It does look a bit person-y.
It looks like a person.
It looks kind of like a person sitting at a table. Next to like some candlesticks or something.
But nobody was in there.
Weird. Not what I thought the house looked like either.
No. Big stone mansion.
Yeah. That's pretty spooky.
Some photo evidence to back up how many people have seen figures and heard footsteps and...
Yep.
Are convinced that someone is in the house. Because that seems to be every story, is just there's someone here.
Yeah.
But there can't be someone here, but there is someone here.
But there's somebody. Somebody's lurking. That's very, very strange, isn't it?
It's a pretty good photo.
It's a pretty good photo, as far as, like, spooky photos go.
Mm-hmm. As far as ghostly evidence is concerned.
It's a pretty good one.
It's pretty compelling.
Yep.
And I'm more convinced... I'm more convinced because she was working. She wasn't just there visiting. She's there on someone else's time for someone else's wedding day. You're not gonna waste your time. Because you're there to do a job.
Well, that's interesting. I looked up. I'm looking at other photos. And then that's...
Are you distracted?
No, I'm looking for, like, other evidence.
Off-scale, or...?
Yeah, other photos off-scale house. And in that top window, directly in front of the window, is another window behind it. So light would pass through.
Uh-huh, right, and cast right. A big
spooky shadow.
There shouldn't be anything there.
Yeah. There's also a reflection in one of these windows, which just, like, off the photographer. It just looks a bit weird. Yeah, that top one.
Yeah, yeah. The windows go all the way through.
Yeah.
Fiona emailed me, and I'd asked her if she would just tell me a bit about what she had been doing that day, and, you know, what it was like when she took the photo. So I think I'm just going to read you her email so that you hear her own words.
Sounds good.
What it was like.
Doesn't get abridged or anything that way, does
no,
it?
No, it's just, this is what she sent me, and, like I said, her photo will be on our socials and everything like that. I'm also going to tag her, so if you are interested in getting wedding photos done, you could ask Fiona very nicely. But I'm sure she's probably very busy, because everyone to do with weddings is very busy for the foreseeable future. So, this is what she told me. The day that I took the picture, I had done a wedding shoot at the house. I did take a few pictures in the room. I remember setting my camera on the bed and jokingly said, "Kelly and Malcolm, hope this won't upset anyone." We then finished the shoot and went outside. I was on my way down to the car and thought I would take a picture of the venue and to check the angle because I was coming back the next week to do another wedding and might use it. I took the shot and left. A few days later, when editing the photos, I had a look at the photo for the next wedding and then saw the figure-type shape in the window. I zoomed into the photo and it is a dark figure shape. I know when I left that day, there were only two other people still in the building, both wearing white shirts and ties, not black. I also zoomed into the other window upstairs and you can see the plate on the window easily. So if one of the men was at the window, it would have been easy to make them out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When I returned the next week, I took the same shot to see if it was just something that's always there, but there was no figure shape. Just the light through to the other window at the top of the stairs, which is what you were saying.
Yeah, that's what I looked up and saw.
People often ask about it or joke about it when we are there taking photos. I didn't do anything to the photo to put the figure shape there like some people think. It just happened. I'm not one for believing in ghosts, but can't really explain what it is.
Mm. I believe she wouldn't have photoshopped herself. Well, exactly. Like, it doesn't...
When your career is photography, why would you?
Like, it doesn't... There's no gain for her.
So thank you, Fiona. Thank you so much for emailing me. I really, really appreciate it. But that's it in her own words.
Yeah, that's the account. Oh, God, it must have been horrible. Just be like, what is that? The photo?
All I can imagine is going through the photos late at night in the dark with just your laptop screen really, really bright and you're on your own and then you just see this shape.
God, I'd make you just pull the curtains and turn the light on, wouldn't it?
Right. It's creepy.
Very creepy. Spooky.
Isn't it strange?
It's very strange.
So I hope if you're listening you had access to some kind of screen so that you could have a look at that along with us.
What did you Google?
Well, I'll have it on the Instagram and the Generally Spooky website. You can find them there.
That's fair.
It'll be easier because I'll just have the image.
Generally Spooky on Instagram. Yes. Generallyspooky.com.
Yes. But it's very creepy.
That is very creepy.
It made my tummy do a jolt when I saw it.
Do a little whoop.
Mm-hmm.
It made mine go, it's just something else.
Well, I knew it would do that for you. But it won't do that for the people.
The people, the listeners, you good folk at home.
And that is the story, the many stories of Scale House. And I want to finish this by formally requesting that we go stay there sometime.
I mean, if it's not ridiculously expensive, I'm up for it.
Me and you and puppy.
Not just you and the listeners.
I mean, we'd all go hang out, I suppose.
Generally Spooky meet up.
If you're game, write me at 100 Spooky Street, Scotland.
Very well done.
What do you think of the story of the episode?
Very spooky. Very interesting too. Really interesting.
Isn't it? The history is just phenomenal.
I would like to go and visit to do a tour.
Me too. There's so many different places in Orkney I want to go.
Mm-hmm. Shame you're barred.
I'm not barred. I've never been.
Pre-barred.
Your dad was the one that was barred from an island.
He was.
If anything, you are barred. Not me.
I think it was an uncle. Can't remember.
I thought it was your dad and your uncle.
Possibly both. Don't know.
Do you want to tell a story?
No, it's okay.
We'll you're just going to have to imagine. Well, thank you for listening, Kieran.
You're very welcome. Thank you for listening, listeners. That's the dog thumping.
He's been causing carnage this whole recording session. Yeah, hopefully you've been able to cut most of it out.
Hopefully. It didn't pick up too bad, but if you've been hearing that, our apologies.
Yeah, it's not a ghost. It's Odin.
It's just the dog.
In his bed.
Because I was going to take him out for a walk, but it's like 9:45 now.
And spooky.
Yeah, and it's all spooky now. Like.
And probably raining.
I walked the dog yesterday until the streetlights ran out. I walked a bit further on. It was all dark and I got spooked and turned around.
Well, we will be back next week.
Yes, we will.
With the last in our trio of haunted house episodes for spooky season.
On the 29th, I think.
Yes, Halloween's on Sunday.
Yeah, so our episode will be at the 29th.
Yes.
You can save it for Halloween.
Yeah.
Get spooky.
Or you can listen to it to celebrate my birthday with me, because my birthday's on the 28th.
Yes, you can.
Have a spooky birthday with me.
Spooky birthday. Whoop, whoop.
I've only just realised I'm going to be 28 on the 28th.
That's fun.
Why have I not put this together before?
Don't know.
Spooky.
Spooky.
We will speak to you next week, guys.
Thank you, lovely listeners.
Thank you.
We will see you again.
Thank you.
No, we won't. You'll hear us again. Bye.
Bye.